If you want a text this evening, it's the words of Jesus. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. In that reading from Chronicles, we read something about the building of the temple. And wonderful story, isn't it? God told David that it wasn't his job to build it because he was a man of war. So his son Solomon would build it instead. We read there, listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God. And I made plans to build it, but God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and to shed blood. And then further on, he wrote, said, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you, that's to Solomon, chosen you to build a house for, as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. So Solomon had this responsibility. They weren't David's plans, but God's plans. So David says to Solomon, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work of the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Now, if you read through those chapters, building the temple, it's just amazing what took place, what went into that building of the temple. The thousands of people involved in the building, the materials used, you can read it in all the materials about the amount of gold they had and the stones and the timber. Simply amazing story of building that fabulous temple for the Lord. And it took 7 years too. It goes into great detail if you read that bit we missed out in 1 Chronicles. The detail there, the instructions God gave David, so meticulous, to end up with a wonderful structure. Large amounts of gold and silver, precious stones. If you could have seen the inside of that temple, just imagine this church, all the walls covered in pure gold. Can you imagine that? That's what it was like in Solomon's temple. No expense was spared to build that fabulous structure. But 950 BC it was finished after 7 years of work. They had stonemasons, sculptors, carpenters, embroiderers, metal workers, you name it. Tens of thousands of people with all the different skills involved to come up with that wonderful structure. They all played their part. They all had a bit to do. David had the plans from God, but the people did the work with all their skills. And after 7 years, that magnificent building was finished. Must have been absolutely dazzling. Yet Solomon realized when he dedicated the temple that God couldn't be contained in a temple. He said, but will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Solomon realized God couldn't be contained in a building. But you know, Solomon's question was answered 900 years later, was it? 600 maybe. When the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God did dwell on earth, but not in that temple Solomon built. But God came to us in a human being, in Jesus. The word became flesh and lived among us. Solomon's prayer, his question was answered when Jesus came. Yes, God can dwell on earth, did dwell on earth in Jesus. Now, despite its splendor and its grandeur, sadly, Solomon's temple was destroyed in BC 586, when the Babylonians came by and conquered the city. Left it a smoking ruin. That lovely temple was destroyed, left a ruin. How tragic. After all the work went into it, it was stripped and set on fire, and all the artifacts taken away to Babylon. People taken to exile. But you know, that's exactly what God said would happen if they turned against him and broke his laws. He said that's what would happen. He warned them, and they didn't take any notice. Solomon, sadly, for all his wisdom, turned away from God, didn't he, at the end of his life. And so that lovely temple, which so much effort went into building, was left a smoldering ruin. It was destroyed because the nation and its leaders turned against God, and God judged them, as he'd warned them he would do, if they didn't stay faithful to him. And all that effort was to nothing, wasn't it? But you know, God did promise that after 70 years of exile, the people would come back. We read that in Jeremiah. And when the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians, and King Cyrus came to power, he gave a decree that all the exiles of all the nations would be allowed to go back to their own nation. In fact, in the British Museum in London, there's this Cyrus cylinder. And on that clay cylinder is recorded this proclamation that King Cyrus made. We read in Ezra chapter 1, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia. So a pagan king who had no knowledge of the God of Israel was spoken to by God, and God told him to tell the people to go back and rebuild the temple. And that's what happened. They set out. You read about it in Ezra and Nehemiah. You can read about the return of the exiles back to Jerusalem again. And all because God spoke to a pagan king to keep his promise, to allow the survivors to return, and even to take with them the artifacts they'd stolen or taken back with them to Jerusalem again. Then the rebuilding of the temple had to begin, didn't it? We read about that in Nehemiah and Ezra. There was a half-hearted attempt you'll read about if you read it. They weren't really putting their best into it. And in fact, Haggai said, "Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing?" So it wasn't a patch on the original temple. They didn't put their best into it, did they? And so the glory was not what it was. So this building went on in fits and starts until eventually in the reign of Darius, king of Persia, it was finished, about 520 BC. Now this second temple again was destroyed by the Greeks and Romans in the 2nd century BC. So even that didn't have a future. But then Herod came along in the 1st century BC and he rebuilt the temple. Now he wasn't a believer, but he did it to please the Jews, to try and keep in with them. So he built this temple for them. And that was the temple Jesus would have known when he grew up. That's where he would have been dedicated. That's where he would have got lost at 12 years old. That's where he would have gone on many times to speak and challenge the Pharisees. That was the temple Herod built. And it meant a lot to the people of Jesus' time, didn't it, the temple? But Jesus warned them that it wasn't the temple that mattered really. On one occasion, you may remember when the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" Jesus said, "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." So Jesus said, "Don't think too much of that building. That's just a building. That won't remain. That temple is temporary." So that prophecy was fulfilled in AD 70 when the Roman army came in and destroyed it, again leaving a ruin. And it's never been rebuilt to this time, that temple in Jerusalem. But you know, we need to remind ourselves, don't we, that God doesn't live in temples and structures built by human beings, does he? We build these buildings. It's wonderful to meet here to worship God and feel his presence. But God can't be contained in a building. He's bigger than that, isn't he? Paul said that, didn't he, in Athens, the people there. God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. So these people in Athens were religious people. They had all these different altars and religious structures. But he reminded them, God doesn't live in buildings. You can't contain him. So Jesus reminded the people that he'd come to build something different. He said, "I will build my church." And he wasn't talking about bricks and mortar. "I will build my church of people. People like you and me. Living stones." Isn't that what Peter was talking about? As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, to you who believe this stone is precious, he said. But to those who don't believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So Jesus was rejected, wasn't he, when he came to earth, by the very people who'd looked for his coming. They rejected him, and yet he was the one they needed, the one they'd looked for, the cornerstone. So Jesus was talking about this kind of church, as Peter did, made of people like you and me. Those who've come to the living stone, to Jesus, and found faith in him. That's the church. And to be part of this church, we have to repent of our sin, of course, believe Jesus died for us, accept what he's done for us. And when we do, we become living stones, part of that living structure, which is growing and will always continue to grow. Nothing can destroy it. I like building with stones. I've done lots in my life building with stones. All the different shapes and sizes. We looked at this church outside. Different shapes and sizes, yet all fitted together. Now, 51 years ago, we were building our house, Liz and I. There we are. And we were using stones to build it. And we pulled down an old cow shed at the farm and took the stones, and with a bit of help from family and friends, we built our house. And I love picking the stones. Where will that one fit? Well, that will go there, and that one will go there, you know. They all have a place to fit. Every stone has a place. It's like that in the church, as living stones. We're all different. We're all different. And yet we all have a place in God's living church, in his this building, this new temple. We're all part of it. We all have a place. We used to sing a song when I was young. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. That's true. We've all got that particular bit to play in God's temple, haven't we? We've got our place. May not be a big prominent place, but we've got a place. And moving into Ephesians now, Paul wrote, consequently, you, that's you Gentiles, are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling of God, in which God lives by the Spirit. So Jesus lives in his people, in his church, by his Spirit. The church isn't a human institution. If it were, it would have died out centuries ago, wouldn't it? Imagine, could it last 2,000 years if it were a human institution? It's not a human institution. Let's remember Jesus' promise. I will build my church. We're not building it. We're not building ourselves. We're part of the building, but he is building his church. That's why nothing can destroy it. He's building it. Now, people have tried to destroy the church, haven't they? But no force in heaven or earth can destroy God's church. The church isn't dying, you know. It's not dying. Thousands of people are coming to the Lord every day. Even our own country. We've been watching Keswick. We haven't been in person this year. We've been watching the live stream in the last week. And how wonderful it is to see those thousands of people, all the young people coming to Keswick each year. Keen young people growing in their faith. Church isn't dying. Jesus is building his church. And that's why we don't need to despair and get discouraged. We need to pray for revival, of course we do. We need to pray that God will build his church, that the church will touch more people and draw them in. We need to pray for revival. New governments can't save us, but Jesus can. We need to pray. We need to be encouraged. I think the words that Solomon spoke to David spoke to Solomon could be quite encouraging for us here. This is a word for us. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. So whilst we're here on earth, until the church is finally completed, we have a work to do. And God won't fail us or forsake us. He'll be with us all the way. So let's be encouraged by those words of David. Our work will be finished when Jesus gathers his church to heaven, where we read in Revelation, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So have you come to Jesus, that living stone? Are you part of that living temple? Will you be part of that redeemed throng in heaven, worshipping the Lord Almighty and the Lamb who died? I trust that you will be, because Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and we're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. He is building his church, not us. We're part of it. It will be completed one day. Praise the Lord. Amen.